Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I would now like to call the Sussex County Board of Adjustment meeting to order. Our first order of business for this evening will be the approval of the agenda.
Mr. Chairman, agenda was revised to remove the review of the minutes of April 1st, 2013. Corrected by referencing the approval of the minutes of March 18, 2013, and the finding of facts for March 18, 2013. And we also added the old business item number 11187, EG&L Associates, as old business.
Okay, so we've already approved those minutes on the 18th, and the finding of the facts.
Motion to approve the agendas revised.
Sir.
Can you have a second to that motion?
Second.
I have a motion by Mr. Mills and a second by Mr. Hudson that we approve the agenda as revised. All those in favor of the motion, give the usual voting sign.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? The motion carries. And next we'll have Mr. Sharp.
You want to approve the minutes and the findings?
Well, we got these approved. They've already been approved on March 8th. Is that, am I reading that right?
No, those are that's the minutes from March 18th and the findings of fact from March 18th.
All right, then I stand to be corrected. Thank you. And I need a motion.
Motion to approve the minutes and the finding of facts.
I'll second that.
I have a motion by Mr. Mills, then a second by Mr. Workman, that we approve the minutes of the March 18th meeting and the finding of the facts. Again, all those in favor of the motion, give the usual voting sign.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. And all
Mr.
Opposed?
Chairman.
I second.
You second it.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry.
I stand to be correct again.
Boy, that's twice tonight.
I'm batting off bad then.
You're sitting too close to Bud.
Yes, that's what it is. Oh, my. Change it, man.
He took your water.
Okay, now.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is the time and place for hearings before the Board of Adjustment. There are a number of public hearings this evening, and in order to proceed in an orderly fashion and to ensure full participation by those present with an interest, hearings will be conducted subject to certain rules. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion and take directions from the chairman. Unruly or disorderly conduct will not be tolerated and may result in expulsion from the room. Each application will be announced. The applicant will be asked to come forward and to be sworn in. The applicant will then present the case, explain the request, and present any exhibits or testimony in support of the application. The burden is on the applicant to address the statutory factors for a variance or special use exception. The board may ask questions of the applicant and any of the witnesses. The board will then invite public comment. Supporters go first, followed by opponents. Please identify yourselves by name and place of residence for the record. All persons must be sworn in order to speak. Please be concise with your statements and avoid being repetitive. The board may ask questions of supporters or opponents. If you have questions for others, those questions must first be directed to the board, and the board may then direct the question to the appropriate individual. Once all testimony has been presented, the public hearing is closed, and the case may be voted upon, tabled, or taken under advisement for consideration at the end of the agenda. If you're here for a case listed under old business, please understand that no new testimony or evidence will be taken unless the record was held open at the previous hearing. In addition, items listed in our old business are considered after all of the new public hearings, and you're advised that it may be late in the evening when such matters come up. All board matters are discussed and voted on publicly in open session. All persons present may stay throughout the evening to view deliberations at the end of the agenda or to call the board's office in the morning for the result. In addition, you may view all of these proceedings live on the internet. For the courtesy of those here this evening, if you have a cell phone or pager, we request that you turn it off for the duration of the meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Sharp. Getting better. First case, please.
First application is case number 11189, the application of Brandywine Seaside Point, LLC. The site is located northeast of Seaside Boulevard, 580 feet. East of Route 270A, which is also known as Muncie Branch Road, and being 400 feet east of Route 1, also referred to as Coastal Highway, and identified on tax rolls as tax map ID 3-34, map 13, parcel 325.37. requesting a special use exception to expand an existing assisted living facility. More appropriately, it was listed in our zoning code as a convalescent nursing home. Gentlemen, for the record, this site is located in the expansion. The site was originally developed and approved to be developed as an assisted living facility on December 2nd of 1996. And we received one letter, which is very short, from Matthew I. Swigel. Thinks he's out of state until next week and will not be able to attend this evening's meeting. I write to you about my concerns. I'm a homeowner in the Beachfield community and my property is behind the area that may be used for the expansion. It is all unclear because the plans have not been shared with our community. I spent a good amount of time in my backyard and above the fence. I enjoy great views of some trees and the sky. It is my concern that the Brandywine expansion would negate the skyscape we all share on Beachfield Drive. And it's signed Matthew. That's all I have, my check question.
Okay, no, thank you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. Tim Willard with Fuqua Iori and Willard, representing the applicant in this case, Brandywine Seaside LLC. If I could start just by introducing who's here. We brought everybody that may be necessary to answer any of your questions. They may or may not testify, but they're here. Peter Burke is in the back. He's a vice president of Brandywine. Steve Henney is here. He's vice president of operations. Michael Coben is with GMB. He's a site plan engineer. And George Wilson is the architect. You see a rendering down there that I can put up higher. Mr. Wilson was involved in that.
All right. Well, Mr. Wilson, do you want to have them sworn in before we get started in case they would need to get up? Do you feel they're going to need to get up and talk? You'd like to.
Why don't I go first and then we can do it? I may not call all of them, if that's okay.
Yeah.
What I intend to do, in fact, is I handed this book to the board. I think I turned it in Wednesday, maybe Tuesday of last week.
Mm-hmm.
I intend in my presentation to go through that book as an outline of what I'm going to do and basically let you know what's in there. There may be questions arise, and then I was going to call Mr. Burke and then maybe Mr. Coben for more technical questions if you have on infrastructure.
Okay.
That's how I plan to proceed. I don't know if there's a neighborhood nearby named Beachfield. I know somebody signed in, and I hope they can see that if they're up there. But I have other handouts for them if they'd like.
Okay.
We're talking about property. It's about 6 acres just east of the Giant on Route 1, between north of Rehoboth. It's a property that originally came before the council for a GRRPC and was approved for residential. And in 1996, the special use exception was approved to do what's existing there now. There is a convalescent home there, Brandywine Seaside Living, is there now. And what my clients are proposing to do is to expand that facility. The expansion amounts to approximately a 20% expansion, perhaps more like 30% on the footprint, 20% as part of its use. And the reason we're here before you is because your code calls for special use exception approval from you all for convalescent homes or nursing homes. And as you well know, your standard is a real clear one, which is you have to decide whether this will substantially affect adversely neighboring properties. And we submit to you for what we're about to present, including the information on this book, is that it will not. And one reason is they've been there for over 15 years, and we like to think have provided a useful service in that area without any problem. The first tab, and these aren't numbered, and the tabs are kind of hard to read. They're small, but it says project overview.
Mm-hmm.
If you would read that entire thing, it would simply tell you that they're proposing to expand the facility to add a 28-unit facility, and this facility is going to be referred to as. I think it's the Dream, the Reflections, and I'm sorry, I forgot the name, Reflections. It will house mainly patients or residents that have Alzheimer's or dementia. And what Mr. Berker may talk a little bit more out later on is, unfortunately or fortunately, this demand is, I don't want to say exploding, but it's going up pretty rapidly. They have a facility in Fenwick, and they have 34 beds for this kind of facility, and they're filled here, right here at Brandywine. There's a significant wait list for that. If you turn to the next tab, or I'm sorry, it's the second page, it just is it's a summary of the kind of activities that will be provided there. And Mr. Burke also will touch a little bit more on this, but Brandywine is a pretty well-established leader, if you will, for the region in senior care, so they have programs. This second tab also describes the difference between the current building and the new addition. As part of our application, sort of a very minor part, the main facility will grow some activity rooms and also change their entrance to the corner of the property, which makes it much, and that's depicted. Put this up for the team to see. And all these are in the booklet as well. This entrance here will be on the existing building. As it stands now, the entrance is around the side, and it's somewhat awkward.
Like so, the corner.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll bring it more to the front.
Right, and you'll see a tab later on that'll show it much clearer. So it'll be to the front. And this is beneficial for two reasons. One, it fits into the addition plan as well. Mr. Wilson's pointing to where the addition is now, I mean, where the entrance is now. Yeah, and it'll bring it right there to the corner.
Okay.
So as you drive in, you'll see a much nicer entrance, and that's probably been some issues of confusion. And it also lends itself to being in the center of where the new facility is and parking and their handicap entrances there. By doing that entrance change, they're going to lose 6 beds, I think, in the main facility, mm-hmm. where they have, I think, about 95 units, but they will increase their activity space. So it's sort of a benefit.
By doing so.
And that tab one in there shows other addition as far as the parking, the number of employees. I'll just touch on a few. Number of employees will increase to about 6, and that's to take 24/7 shifts, because it's obviously a facility is open that long. The parking will increase from 34 to 68 spaces, which is over what's required. So it should actually improve the parking situation as well. If you turn,
that's one for every 4 patient. Is that what it is? Every 4?
I believe that's correct.
You're right,
Mr. Coben. I can have him.
And
sworn.
That number was what?
68. Why don't we swear, Mr. Coben, if
yes,
you want to talk about
would,
this a
please.
Little.
That okay. way you can ask the questions. I mean, get it all on record. Sir, do you want
to go over here
and be sworn in?
Steve, can you state your name and address for the record?
It's Michael Coben, 8412 Raccoon Lane, Berlin, Maryland.
Do you swear or affirm testimony you're about to give us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Record, do you want
to? Yeah, the ordinance says you have to have one parking place for every 4.
It's one per 4 beds.
Right.
And then it's one for every 2 employees
on.
And one for every 1 medical staff.
Correct.
And we calculated that to 55 for this.
That would be 55 parking places?
55 would be required.
Okay.
For the proposed.
And you have how many again?
68.
64.
Sorry.
Yeah,
I just added that. It says 64.
64.
That was my bad.
Oh, okay.
Do you have parking for visitors?
That's part of it, isn't it?
That should accommodate
that's
it.
Primarily visitor parking.
Because
calculates out for that purpose.
Yeah, one for every 4. You keep in mind that these patients are not, some of them don't ambulate, let alone drive, so they're not driving and coming and going.
Oh, you answered that question. I was going to say, what percentage of those people drive? Very little?
Small, yeah. Small. Where you have the biggest parking situation is Mother's Day, Christmas.
Right.
And you know, they might max out then, but the parking for patients is incremental, yeah, it's small.
Okay.
So it overcompensates, as Mr. Lang.
Does it pick up in the summertime? Other than the winter, the parking? I mean, it.
I'd have to swear another witness for that. I think my logic tells you. My logic tells you it would, because
yes,
it's funny how grandchildren show up at the beach in the summer.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
Right.
I got friends I didn't know I had that come here in the summer. But I have a witness that will address that a little later,
all
too.
All right, fine.
And I'm marching through these tabs. I'm going to do it somewhat quickly because you'll see more technical information about the square footage in the next tab, which is tab 2. You probably can't see the site plan from there, but if you want to see a detailed drawing of it, it's in tab 3. That's exactly what the board is up there, showing the layout. There'll be 14 units on each floor, activity rooms. There's a sun porch at the end of it and a garden area. We've also included a lighting plan. We're sensitive to the fact that our neighbors to the east is a Beachfield community, so all the lighting and the lighting plan we proposed is directed onto the property and won't shine off of the property. The next tab we've included is a landscape plan, which shows, you know, that all the islands will be landscaped with trees and shrubs. The next tab, which shows the facility renderings, is we've already talked about the new entrance, which is a plus-plus all around. The building itself will be just like what's there, so it'll look like one unit where it's connected at the end. It'll be out of the same material, same colors, so it will be, you know, homogeneous. We've included in the next tab actually a floor plan, so you can see, and this is the tab entitled Floor Plans. You can actually see the setup, how each rooms are set up, where it shows the dining area activity center. What's maybe significant about that is you can see where the new entrance is. That's where the administrative offices will be, and there'll be increased activity room for the main building. And we have second floors in there for your information, too, as part of this application. And the second floors of the new building. We have a site plan of just what one floor would look like. And at that, I have a couple more tabs that I'm going to address maybe at the end of the presentation. I'd like to swear Mr. Burke, Peter Burke, or have him sworn.
And just, you would, please?
Name and address for the record.
Peter J. Burke, Jr., 203 10th Street North, Brigantine, New Jersey.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Right here, Mr. Burke, just a couple introductory questions. Okay. Is it correct that you're Executive Vice President of Brandywine Senior Living?
Yes, and I'm one of the founders of the company.
And were you, in fact, executive here at Brandywine Seaside for a while?
Yes, during the storm when there was about 100 inches of snow that winter, I was down here for about 8 months. So,
the question that I have, maybe you can add to what Brandywine's experiencing as far as the demand for the Alzheimer's unit, and if there's anything you want to add about this project, now would be the time to do it.
Unfortunately, there's an epidemic of Alzheimer's in this country, and it's mostly being caused by the fact that we're all living longer. And 10 years ago, the average age in assisted living in America was 83. Now it's 87. And what that means is, you know, people are living longer. The degree, the disease is progressing more. We have 2,000 residents in all our buildings, our various locations on the East Coast. 25% of them are in units that we're proposing to build here, secured units. Sussex County is no different. As Tim had said earlier, our facility down in Fenwick Island has 40% of the units filled with people in that have Alzheimer's. You know, let's hope that they find a cure someday for it. But what's happening is there's, you know, we're experiencing a large demand in that building over there. Currently, when we only have 14 units for Alzheimer's, and we will, when the units finish, the new unit is going to be exclusively for those residents, and we suspect that it's going to fill up very quickly. Unfortunately for the population. So. To an earlier point about people that drive, the average age is 87. In most of our buildings, two or three people still drive. So you know, we don't really get that many drivers, none in the Alzheimer's unit. And during the summertime, we have a number of buildings along the Jersey Shore. And down here, we don't see a significant increase of visitors. When they come here, they go to the beach. You know, they don't come to the assisted living building. But this building, you know, our addition is going to fulfill a demand that we see here in the county. And there's not many facilities in the county that can care for residents like this. The closest facility outside of our building down in Fenwick Island is 25 miles away. So we want to try and fulfill that demand here in the area. And we've been taking care of the residents in this part of the county for the last 15 years, and we want to continue to meet the demands.
Thank you. So you said, what percentage you say drive?
Excuse me?
What percentage did you say drive?
Three people.
Three people?
So two or three people will still be driving.
I'm 80 and I'm still driving, but they gave me a red light and a fire. All right, thank you. That was very good.
Okay, any further questions from any members?
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
I was going to call Mr. Coben next if there are any questions with dealing with him. Well, let me call Michael real quick, Mr. Coben. Rather than say I'm going to do it. Maybe you could tell the board briefly about the site plan as far as infrastructure and utilities.
Okay. Talked a little bit about parking. Stormwater management for the site will be split. The addition and the parking lot just below it will go to an existing stormwater management pond in the bottom corner of the site.
That's on the other side of the road?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know where you are now. Okay.
And the all the parking on the left-hand side will be handled through infiltration. We plan to use permeable pavement in the parking stall portions of that lot. We've met with the Conservation District for a pre-application meeting, and they've approved that approach. The testing is being done now to support the infiltration rates, and it's a fairly green solution for that side of the site. Water is provided now and will continue to be provided by Tidewater Utilities, county sewer there. We've met with planning folks and county public works, and the capacity is there for this.
For the increase?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
If I may interject, Michael and I met with Rob Davis early on in the project, and he did the numbers, so.
And they're fine.
To make sure that there is adequate capacity there. The plan, as you see, it preserves the buffer that's at the rear. There are some photographs of that in the package. And Tim mentioned earlier, lighting has been designed so as not to spill onto adjacent properties. If you grant approval here, then we've had some discussions with the State Fire Marshal's office, but we'll have to submit a major site plan to them once it's approved here for approval.
Thank you, Michael. Any other questions for him?
Thank you, sir.
A couple more things that I want to address is in the second to last tab, Mr. Lank was kind enough to to search his record or his memory anyway, and sent me a letter in response to an inquiry, which indicates reference to this project. Please be advised that I can attest that this is from Mr. Lank to me, that I'm not aware of any formal complaints or violations of the zoning ordinance since the original 100-bed assisted living facility on this site was constructed. And then he goes on to say when it was approved back in 1996, and they speaks of the buffer and the fence. The next tab you have on there is, some of you are familiar with Mr. Carmine, who's an appraiser here in town. He did a study of property values, and you can read his cover letter to me. Most of it, actually, it's interesting that the appraisers said this information's his exclusive property or mine, and then he has other information in there about who he is. But you know, the ultimate conclusion here is that this seaside, Brandywine Seaside, has not affected property values. For in particular, he compared Beachfield, which is in the rear of the property, with two other neighborhoods. The neighborhoods Maplewood and Breezewood. Mm-hmm. And he didn't go back, I don't think he had the records prior to 1996, but he took it to like, I think, 2003 to 2005, and average sales there, and then took it up to 2009, 2012, that three-year period, and just wanted to see, well, we all know what happened in 2008, right? Mm-hmm. The bottom fell out. But what he concluded is that Beachfield was, their prices changed just like any other neighborhood, and there was no significant change. His conclusion being that the presence there of the facility is not, he said, adversely affected. So I would submit to you that that would mean that it didn't substantially adversely. And I know that's important to you, and so we got that formal professional opinion from him. And then lastly, you do have pictures. Those Leyland cypresses, somebody asked me when they were planted, and they must have been planted contemporaneous to when the development occurred. They're rather large, and there's also a fence there. In reference to the buffers, and in particular the letter from Mr. Swagla, I think it is, I found that in your file on Thursday, and I tried to contact him just out of courtesy, and I couldn't reach him, but I don't know if I had a good number. I think he indicates he was out of town. My client will do what you require, obviously, but if you desire to beef up the buffer, you can see there's pretty heavy Leyland trees in front of the existing building, and then it clears out to where the field is and fences. So I note there were some people here that signed in from Beachfield, and we certainly want to be good neighbors, and if it's necessary to beef up a buffer or take into consideration some of their concerns, if they're reasonable, certainly we're amenable to that. The last thing I'd like to submit, two last things I have is, I've got a recent Google Earth photograph, which I think is significant, because when you consider whether a proposal or an addition to an existing facility is going to substantially adversely affect or affect adversely neighboring properties, it's important what those properties are. Obviously, we want to protect with a natural buffer any residential, but it's pretty clear that otherwise surrounding this property is pretty intense commercial activity. Right across the street is the giant Casapulas. Is it Casapulas? Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Casapulas.
Right.
And I think Buffalo Wings is over there. I mean, it's a shopping area. And down the street, right around the corner, as you come in, is Happy Harry's. So for the record, I'd like to...
Walgreens.
Walgreens.
That's a walk-up chip.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you have the bank in there also.
The bank.
The PNB Bank.
So there, I mean, you know, Brandywine is actually sort of a transition property from some pretty intense commercial to what originally was part of the RPC residential when it came in, and obviously Beachfield that's back there. And if there are no other questions for me, I took the liberty to prepare proposed finding of facts for your attorney in anticipation of this record, which I don't know if it's going to be helpful, but if I'll give it to your attorney, if that's all right, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, please.
And like I said, I didn't mean to disrespect my architect here who came down from Pennsylvania. He's used to it, but if you have any questions for him, he's here. Also, the chief of operating's here, or VP of operating, if you have specific questions. Mr. Burke didn't talk about it too much, but to the extent you're approving a special use, it's not only a site plan, and it's in your book, but the Brandywines, I want to say, are pretty much experts in providing elderly care, and they have a regimen of activity programs, health programs, and things like that, and a whole department that takes care of what goes on to make a really quality of life. And one other thing I'd like to mention about Brandywine is they take direct admissions, which, as I understand it, is, and I don't think the other ones do in the area, which if somebody comes in and they can afford it, but then, as we all know, you know, you can be pretty well off one minute and be, you know, on state dole the next, they will keep the Medicaid patients. And I think that's significant because they're one of the only facilities in the area that does. That's all I have.
Any questions in from members of the board? Shall we start with you, Mr. Mills?
No questions.
Okay. Mr. Hudson?
Not at this time.
Okay. Mr. Rivers?
Yeah, I'd like to know, what do you do for the Alzheimer's people? Do you have nurses that are there all the time? Or just curiosity, I'd like to know what's going on in there.
Steve, you're going to need to be sworn.
That's majority of the Brandywine's.
Well, now at the existing facility, it's about 25%.
No, in that building, it's 14%.
Yeah, 14% in the existing. Okay. One thing I do know in preparing this project is it's a very secure facility.
Okay.
Because
that's where I was going next.
Yeah, it's very secure.
Sorry.
Yeah. State your name and address for the record.
Stephen Heaney, 1116 9th Avenue, Toms River, New Jersey.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
I think Mr. Willard touched on it a little bit. Maybe you can enlighten me a little more.
The security of our building?
Yeah.
Sure. What we do within our dementia communities is we have magnetic lock security for our doors. It's keypad entry that you have to keypad the entry. If the door is left open for a significant period of time, I believe it's longer than 8 seconds, there is an alarm that will go off telling you that the door is still open, that somebody's standing there with the door open. If you get family members that will come through the door, they'll leave the door open, standing there, and another resident can come out. That alerts the staff that somebody's standing there with the door open. So at all times, the doors are secured. The fire rules, the fire regulations under NFPA, we do have, when the fire alarms go off, they do automatically release for emergency situations. We do provide nursing staff 24 hours a day in the community, which is above and beyond the state regulation for assisted living. State regulation only requires that you have an RN on staff 40 hours per week. We have a nurse on staff 24 hours per day, 7 days a week.
Yeah, I know it was very, very important to find out how to keep them enclosed there graciously.
Yeah, and we also have an interior courtyard.
Because you can't have them wandering around, and that's devastating.
It is.
Read a lot of papers that say, you know, their family's looking for them, can't find them, and things like that.
Yeah, we have an interior courtyard right now with our 14 units. What we're proposing in our plan here is that at the end of the building, there is an enclosed, what we call wander loop. People with dementia, they don't like to go to dead ends. They want to keep walking in a circle. They want to keep going and moving. So if you look at the site plan, you'll see there's a walkway that goes around and gives them that circulation, the outside area to go outside and move around. And that is an enclosed area that is secured as well.
That's nice. All right, thank you.
Sir, I got a question.
What's that? Yeah.
Is that all fenced in?
It is.
Completely fenced, what, 8-foot fence?
What did we propose?
On that?
It was 8 foot.
8 foot, completely around the whole grounds.
Not around the whole grounds, only at the end portion. George is pointing right here to the area.
Okay.
It's right at the end. As you go down the end of the addition, the end of the hallway, it would open up on the first floor. There's a porch that goes out to that wander loop. The second floor, if you look at the floor plan, it shows that there is a sunroom. George, can you pick up that bottom one, please? If you look at the to the left part of the bottom picture, That is a cantilevered porch on the top, and the bottom is a porch. The second floor is a sunroom, and then it goes out to that fenced-in area.
So they can't go out the other way either, huh?
They can't get out the other way either.
What's stopping them from getting out the other way? I mean, going out the front doors.
The secure doors, the locks, magnetic locks. You have to have a code to get out the door.
Get out too.
Yes.
Okay.
And there's actually on the floor plan, you'll see there where you go from the area that we're proposing now, it's going from the dementia area into a family waiting area. So there's actually two spaces they have to get through to get out of the area.
Because that's a high traffic area there, and I can imagine you would want to keep them very secure.
Yeah, we have 25 communities throughout five states, and we've done rather well with our programs as far as not only do we have the magnetic locks, we have the alarm that goes off if the door is open for longer than 8 seconds. If somebody were to hold a panic bar, a panic device for an emergency exit, we have alarms that go off for that as well as strobe lights. It's called a PZO light that goes off. If somebody's not in that immediate area, they'll still see the strobe light and know that that door is open down there and somebody knows to go to that door. As well as on our exit doors, if somebody were to get out an emergency exit door holding the panic device, we have a contact switch which goes to pagers that our staff members carry and tells them that that door is opened.
Hmm. You have cameras outside?
We have cameras on, not in the current building. We are building new facilities, and that is becoming our standard. As we go forward with this property, it will have exterior cameras at the exit doors.
Okay. Do you have any arrangements with, just curiosity again, with Rehoboth Beach Fire Company and their emergency, in case you do have an emergency?
We have every year. Once a year, we're required to have a disaster plan with the local emergency services. So we do have contact with the fire department once a year.
So you plan this in all when you have this new expansion?
This goes through the state fire marshal's office when we go through this expansion. Everything we designed is in accordance with NFPA 13.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. Thank you.
Any further questions?
No.
From members of the board. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Mr. Chairman, I do have one.
All right. I'm sorry.
We heard some presentation. Did you hear the presentation from Mr. Willard?
Yes.
Do you swear or affirm that that presentation is true and correct?
Yes.
Thank you. Any further, Mr. Chuck?
That's it.
Okay. Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Sure. I did find another letter in opposition to the application, if I may introduce it, please.
Yes, please.
This is from Denise Burke, resident of Beachfield. I'm a homeowner in the Beachfield community. I've been for almost 2 years. My backyard is behind the property of land northeast of Seaside Boulevard next to Brandywine Senior Living. I'm very concerned about the proposed plans. The current view from my backyard is a beautiful sky above the back fence. It is disturbing to think that a building could be constructed and change that beautiful view to brick and mortar. The deciding factor on the purchase of my home was a peaceful and private backyard. I do spend a lot of time in my yard. Brandywine is a wonderful senior living facility, but its expansion would have a negative impact on a number of homeowners on Beachfield Drive. Regretfully, I am out of town on business for the April 15th public hearing, unable to attend, and thanking you for your consideration of my concern.
Okay, that's two letters. Thank you, Mr. Wright. Okay, are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Hands up, please. There's one, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Okay, do we have a spokesman for the group? Or all those that would like to speak, would you please come forward at this time and be sworn in? Thank you.
Please state your name and address for the record.
Gabrielle Fisher, 114 Beachfield Drive, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware.
Sally Cooper, 110 Beachfield Drive, Rehoboth, Delaware.
Do you both swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
And I'm Bill Gallup. I'm at 139 Chesapeake Drive.
I didn't get your last name.
Bill Gallup.
Okay.
And in Beachfield.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Good evening, ladies.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for hearing us tonight. We really are not in opposition to the plan. We just have some concerns.
Okay.
I'm a nurse, and so I have a great deal of respect for Brandywine. And my knowledge of Alzheimer's and the need for this is very understandable. Our concerns are based upon the backyard abutting the Brandywine building itself and the parking lot. Where I live, actually, the parking lot would be right there. Some of my other neighbors would have the building itself abutting their backyard. And our concerns primarily are lighting, which seems to have been addressed, but I'm not sure how low the lighting will be. But it is going to be down, so that's good. And then our other concern was the vegetation, you know, the shrubbery. We wanted to see if we could have a, we were talking earlier, a double set of the Leyland cypress trees for a buffer for noise and for pleasantry, actually. So those were, I think, my biggest concerns. And then I think you also had some things to say.
Yeah.
So your concern, ma'am, is the lighting and the shrubs.
Correct.
Is the only concern that you have.
Yes.
And the issue about the fence.
Oh, and also the fence. The fence that's up now is a wonderful fence, and it's 8 feet tall. And we thought that Brandywine had the ownership of that fence, but we recently found out that it's really the Giant that is maintaining that fence. They actually put it up, is what they did many years ago. Is that right?
But it wasn't maintained by them.
But it hasn't been maintained by them. So we're concerned about the maintenance of the fence. We'd like to keep that fence. You know, how is that going to be taken care of?
Right, well, we'll address that with those in a moment for you, ma'am.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay. My name is Gabrielle Fisher, and I'm a neighbor of Brandywine. And I want to point out we've been in a wonderful neighborly relationship with Brandywine in the past years. They've been very, very helpful as far as letting us use some of their clubhouse for our annual meetings. And we have been on a wonderful relationship with them. We do want to maintain that neighborly good relationship with them, but we do have some concerns. It is the new plan is bringing more noise and more light into our backyards. I'm in particular affected by it because I have the main entrance and the street going straight to my property. There are at this point no Leyland cypresses. They stop short before my property starts. I would have loved to see them plant again mature Leyland cypresses, preferably in a double row.
Same as the other day?
Same as the, yes, but in a double.
Double row.
Yes, double row of evergreens, I would have liked to see. The other issue are the lights. We do see the lights right now from our backyard, but they are further away. Now, the new lights are, it looks from the plan, are coming closer to our backyards. And we were hoping that maybe they could be brought down lower to maybe on the same level or below the 8-foot fence. So it wouldn't be affecting us when we sit in our backyards at night.
Okay.
The other issue was the fence. I was told Giant put up the fence years ago before they went in to create that buffer between residential and commercial. So Giant put it in, but it is sitting on Brandywine's property. And we were hoping that Brandywine would take from now on the maintenance over of this fence. In one of the recent storms, some sections were blown over, and some neighbors took it up on themselves to repair it again to that 8-foot section and to blend in with everything else. So I'm asking the board to make these conditions, the trees, the light, the maintenance of the fence as a condition for approval of this plan.
All right, ma'am.
So, ma'am, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
You had mentioned noise.
Yes.
Did you have noise from the unit that's there? I mean, the place that's there now? Is there noise that comes?
No, but we will. We have now, there is, from mine, I have green grass and a big meadow right now behind me. Mm-hmm. But in the future, I will be having the main entrance street coming into the development and parking lot. I'm lot number 12 on the plan, if you would like me. May I?
Sure.
I'm lot 12, so I have the main entrance right coming in, and again, parking lot coming out, and whatever comes around behind the building comes now right here in the center of my backyard.
While you're there, there is a cypress on the right-hand side, okay?
The cypress stops right here.
Okay.
It goes from here to about here, I would say.
Okay.
And they are beautiful.
The rest of it is...
It's all bare, and a lot of shrubbish, a lot of trash, a lot of... and I'm referring to just curb, trash, and...
Is there a fence
it's
there?
It's not been kept up.
Is there a fence there?
There is a fence. The fence is going all the way up to here.
Right.
It's about here to all the way up here.
Okay.
And it is an 8-foot older fence, and we are concerned about the maintenance.
Okay.
So that's, thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Sir?
I actually had a question for this gentleman.
Because you asked the board, and then we'll address them if you would, sir.
They mentioned 24/7 workers.
What's that?
They mentioned workers being there 24 hours a day. So I was interested in the shifts as far as, since some of these homeowners will have their parking adjacent to their homes, I wanted to know when the shifts were going to be happening. Would it be 11 o'clock at night, 7 o'clock in the morning, that kind of thing?
All right, I'll ask him someone for sure.
And then I actually called the Jersey office. I'm the on the board. We have a homeowners association. I'm on the board. So I would represent 84 homeowners. Mm-hmm. I called the Jersey office and left a message actually with Mr. Burke, the vice president, on April 4th. What I wanted was that booklet that you all have. And I believe Ms. Fisher, who just spoke before me, came to Georgetown to get a copy of that booklet. So we know that's what we wanted. We really didn't get what you all have. And I think the community kind of wanted that.
Okay.
And I think that was pretty much it. Other than to say, yeah, we agree that the Brandywine, they're terrific neighbors. They really are. We just want more information. And that's why you had those letters from Denise Burke and Matthew Swalgo.
You know, all that information, if you were very concerned, there's all in the Planning and Zoning Department. It's public.
Well, we couldn't get it. In other words, I called the office.
I said you could go to the Planning and Zoning office, and they'd give you the whole thing, the whole plan.
Well, when we came here, they did not give it to us. We came here, and they would not let us have it. Right?
Yeah, I requested.
We sent someone here.
Ma'am, you need to come back up front if you're going to be able to speak.
Sorry.
Please.
I don't understand. Go ahead.
I was on Monday in the planning office, and I requested, or I asked if I could take one of those beautiful handbooks with home, and they denied.
And you could sit there and look at it.
Right. And I did get, they made a copy for me of the plan.
Okay.
So you see how well-worn it is. One plan went around the neighborhood, but I thought it was a shame. The books look well-prepared. And I would have loved for our community to have at least one in our hands.
All right, but I'll talk to him in a moment.
Great, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. And then, Mr. Bullard, did you address these? You heard the concerns.
I can. As far as...
I appreciate it.
I think everybody that just spoke about Brandywine being good neighbors, and I think the feeling's mutual. As far as the Leyland Cypress, double Leyland Cypress to the end of the property, which is probably a good idea. And if you want to make that a condition,
okay.
No problem.
Okay.
Brandywine.
I would just qualify that slightly. If you look at the photographs of the existing buffer,
mm-hmm.
they come out to the road already. So I don't think you're going to get a double row in this piece. But where there is deciduous now, and
brush in here, that could all certainly accommodate the double row, and there wouldn't be any.
So that's, can I ask Mr. Copeland a question? So where they end, we could pick it up with doubles?
Yes.
Yeah.
Doubles down.
Yeah. And we'll also maintain the fence. I think the survey shows it on our property, on Brandywine's property. There was some question about that. But
I already asked you, whose fence is it? Is it
the survey fence? Shows it on our property, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, so we'll maintain it.
You will maintain
it? You will maintain it?
But needs repairing.
Okay.
And, you know, as soon as I learned there was some interest from Beachfield, I tried to contact her, you know, perhaps, and I'll take the blame for that. We should have been more proactive in contacting Beachfield, and I apologize for that. Okay. I can maybe get a book to them so they can see more details about what's going on after the...
Okay. All right.
And as far as Mrs. Fisher's, you know, questions about lighting, Mr. Copeland?
If you look at the lighting tab, it shows a the shapes there that are shown are the patterns of that lighting.
Mm-hmm.
And they were specifically selected to make sure that they don't spill outside of the envelope that we're looking at.
And the technology in that regard is actually improved since maybe the original lights were put in the parking lot.
But they will be taller than 8 feet.
They will not be out the way that they were designed.
Yes, sir.
That's a concern. Okay.
If the Leylands grow like the ones that are there now, they look to be 20, almost 15, so that may obviate that problem.
Okay. Ma'am, that your concerns, that you can come back up front just for a moment and make sure.
I couldn't quite hear the height of the
shrubs that he addressed, what they're going to do from that point.
Yes.
Where they can put two up. With a
yes, I think that would be lovely. That would be great.
And the fence, they're going to maintain that at all time. Take it over now.
That would be awesome.
That was a second. And the lighting.
The lighting, yes.
The gentleman brought you.
Yes, by is the lighting going to be the same height as the existing lighting that is on the building now?
Mr. Willard, can you...
Because that one we can see.
No, I understand. I think the engineer at least has told me that they probably can't be lower than 8 feet because of certain regulations. I can't guarantee that they're going to be lower than 8 feet.
But something they'll not radiate is...
Oh, yeah,
as
they're,
far as what
they're designed not to radiate from the parking lot, but just downward.
Right down where they're at.
So are they different from the existing lighting?
Oh, absolutely.
Or are they the same?
They're different. They're better.
In okay for lighting
better
or,
for you
okay great
okay,
okay well.
And the next one is that Mr. Willard is going to get a booklet like the USC.
Yes.
He'll get one to you as when he can.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
So that's your concerns and then
yes that, that's great. Yes, thank you.
Okay,
all right, thank you very much.
One thing I didn't address is the shift, and if I could call
Steve. I was coming to that. Right. You'll get that next and that'd be all five of them.
Our standard shifts are from 7 to 3, 3 to 4, 3 to 11, and 11 to 7.
Standard 8 hours.
Standard 8 hour shifts. There are some variations.
Sure, did you hear that? Okay.
There are some variations just for meal service when wait staff comes in, two or three of those people.
You already operate those.
We already operated that.
Now,
we're only going to be adding a total of 6 new employees for this addition over the entire 24 hour period.
So the shift things will not change
it
with
will
this
not
expansion.
Change.
Yeah.
Based on what you've got.
Correct.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Willard, are you going to have any signage on that building or anything? Any signs out front? Or
just what they currently have, I know.
Only what they currently have. Okay.
I think there's one at the entrance. I'm going to, just for the record, I'm going to give the president of Beachfield my book on this. So.
Okay.
The spokesperson.
Okay, Mr. Willard, thank you then for all that. Okay, that's all the... concerns. So, hearing other opposition.
I have another question.
Mr. Mills.
For Mr. Lank.
Mr.
We heard through the letters that there's concern about view. The county, does it have any ordinance protecting property owners' views?
When we get into site plan review with the commission, they always insist that lighting be downward illuminated and screened so that it does not project on adjoining properties or affecting traveling motors.
But I'm referring to the view of sky and space. To my knowledge, there's not an ordinance that protects that.
That becomes opinionated, so it really doesn't.
The ordinance says doesn't shine on.
Right, less light.
Yeah, light.
Excuse me. No, I was just referring to the letters that were read regarding
from
spatial
the backyard,
view
the,
and
the sky to the mortar and brick.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Mills. Okay, then Chair will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that we take case number 11,189 under advisement.
And have a second to that motion?
Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Rickards. Second by Mr. Mills, that we take case number 11,189 under advisement. All those in favor of the motion, Mr. Workman?
Aye.
Mr. Rickards?
Aye, for the reason I stated.
Mr. Hudson?
Aye.
Mr. Mills?
Aye.
Aye, Mr. Callaway. So by a vote of 5-0, case number 11,189 has been taken under advisement. What that means, gentlemen, there may be a decision made later on this evening. You can stay if you would like, or call the office in the morning after 9. Thank you.